A tarragon is in the air. I'm not sure if the bird has landed yet, but the bird is in the air. So Baruch Hashem, you have your Rebbe back. But
tomorrow we're doing
After Shir today. Yes, after Shir today. Yes, okay. So we wanted to do a kind of a special Shir, which is kind of obviously based on our Gemara, but it's not really a Bav Metzia topic, as you see by all the sources I had to put on the sheet. And that is the topic of Moda B'Knas Potter.
Oh.
So how did it come up? Again, similar to Friday's shiur, we're still in this huge mega discussion about Rabbi Chiya Kamaisa. Right? The whole premise of Rabbi Chiya Kamaisa is that if... I've learned. Nothing but net. Okay. Not everyone can make a layup, as I evidenced on Friday.
Wouldn't that qualify as the room?
So, the whole premise of Rabbi Chiya Kamaisa, of course, is that if Hodas Baal Din can be Mechayev Ashvua, so certainly, if Moda B'Miksas can be Chayev Ashvua, so certainly Hodas Eidim B'Miksas should be able to Chayev Ashvua. Mikavachomer. Now, what's the assumption of the Kavachomer if I have Hodas Baal Din?
If you had one.
And Adim, one second. Can you see this? Is it even helpful? Or you can't see it? There's nothing here. It's okay. Don't go anywhere. We're just learning. It's fine. Hodas Baal Din and Adim. So right here, this is like, take you back to like 5th grade or 4th grade, whatever that was. Right? You could have either the equal sign or the greater or the less than. So what would you put it here? The whole premise of Vichia Kamaisa is based on sustaining what symbol in the middle? Then Adim is greater, exactly, right? So the whole, the only way we can sustain Rabbi Chiya is the premise that Adim is greater. Why? If Adim is greater, so then the fact that Hodas Baal Din, or Moda B'Miksas, I keep on.
Yeah.
Okay, same. The point is, it's what the guy said. That's, I'm sorry. Moda B'Miksas. It's the Moda slash Hodas, this is the key. The whole premise of Rabbi Chiya is that if Moda B'Miksas can be Chayav Shvua, if Moda B'Miksas can be Chayav Shvua, and it's weaker, so Kavachomer, Eidim should be Chayav Shvua. Right? So what he said is correct. The whole premise of Rabbi Chiya, this whole Gemara on Gimel Beis, is all to try to sustain the assumption that Moda B'Miksas is weaker. So in that context, we started off, which was the basis also of Friday's Shir. Well, my. So, right away, the Gemara says, what do you mean it's not Mechayev Mamon? What about Hodas Baal Din? Friday's Shir. So the Gemara says, okay, we have to backtrack from that. And then the Gemara said, well, we didn't really mean that Moda, that the Piv, this is really here, perhaps it's really Piv versus Adim. We didn't mean that Piv can't do anything in Mamon, because that we just said, after all, Hodas Baal Din. But rather, what did we really mean? Knas, a certain type of mamo. Namely, the knas is something that he can't do, the piv can't do, and then that would sustain the fact that Adim are actually greater. So that's our Gemara's, and then the Gemara asks questions on that, Ikalimifrach, and then Shvua and Karbon, and away we go. I'll leave the rest for Rabbi Tarragon's discretion. But for our purposes, we're using this as kind of an excuse, or a springboard, to kind of use Bav Metzia and jump out of Bav Metzia. And so where did this idea come from? Where does this idea come from that Moda B'Knas Patur? What's the basis of it? How does it make any sense? And what is the scope of it? Of course, the truth is, if we really want to be clever, when we finish that discussion, we should end with one sentence of bringing it back to our Gemara. Namely, how we understand Moda B'Knas and all of its other tchumen would also presumably help understand it's an indicator that Piv is weaker. But we'll see if we want to get back to that or not. So, Lamaisa, even though this is mentioned in our Gemara, where's the real discussions of Moda B'Knas Potter? Not so much in Bava Metzia, but Bava Kama, right? There's this Mishnah in Ksubis, which I put on the sheet for you guys to see. But really, in terms of the Gemara and the Lamdas and the Halacha, so this is probably classically, again, Rebbeim, we're giving Shiram, Ksubis could speak about it, but certainly if you're giving Shiram on that parak in Bava Kama, this is certainly more of a Bava Kama sugya. So let's just review. What were some of the things that the Mishnah mentioned in Ksubis? What are examples of Knas? We should just make sure
you know, sometimes in life we presume too much, and that could be a mistake in communication. So what are examples of kanas? So onus umafata, right? So if a woman is taken advantage of, so there's various monetary obligations. Now, some of them are considered mamon, right? If she was damaged in any way physically or emotionally or psychologically, that's mamon, that's not a kanas. However, the Torah also says, right, there's a special fine of the chamishim shekel, so that's a kanas. That has nothing to do with the particulars of the case. Even if she said she had no negative effects or you already paid her the damages, there's always this additional penalty. That's one example. What's another example of a kanas? Kefel. Good, right? So if you steal something, so in certain circumstances, specifically you're sneaky, so then if you're a ganav, so then not only do you have to pay back whatever it is, the iPad or whatever it is that you stole, make right restitution, but there's an additional penalty of paying double. And if you shechted it or sold it, you even have the dalid vehei, potentially, depending on if it's a sheep or a sure. Any other examples of kanas? Or those are the big ones. What? Right, so there's that. What else?
Adding the fifth on truma.
Okay, good. That could be example. Or what's kofair, right, with an eved, right, which is what we're going to get to with Mr. Tevi. So these are all examples of kanas. Kanas means a penalty. Kanas is it's a monetary obligation, but it's imposed by the Torah above and beyond the damages. That's called a kanas. Now the question is, you know, green is green, right? Money is money. Like, what's the difference? It's true when, you know, again, lahavdil in American legal system also, there's very often, there's compensatory damages, there's punitive damages. But at the end of the day, the person who, you know, who wins, the victim, just happy to get a check. You know, what does it matter if we say something is kanas versus something is money? At the end of the day, if you tell me it's malkos, it's a carbon, okay, these are completely different things. But money is money. So what exactly makes kanas different, or in what ways does halacha make it different? Now, first of all, we wonder, what is the source of this? So the source for this, even though it's kind of assumed, Rashi here quotes it, Exubus is quoted, but really, it's kind of, I would say, almost clumsily, if I could use that word, mentioned in the Gemara in Bava Kamma. What is the source that everyone agrees to that is the basis of Moda B'Knas Potter? What was that? I put the psukim on the page. Which one was it? So look, so right. So what does the pasuk say? Shmos, let's take a look at it. Perek Chav Bet Pasuk Chet. So it's in the context of Moda B'Miktsas. Ki Hu Zeh. So end of the pasuk says, Yavo Dvar Shnehem, went to the Elohim, to the judges, Lashon Chol, Asher Yarshiun Elohim, Yishalim Shnayim L'Re'ehu. So the Gemara darshins, Asher Yarshiun Elohim, that the judges found you guilty, and therefore you have to pay the kefel, the double. But if a person prat, L'moda B'Knas is potter. Now that, everyone, even Rab, even Shmuel, they all agree that that is the basic core of Moda B'Knas Pater. The Gemara in Baba Kama then tells us about an additional halacha, and in order to understand the additional halacha, tells us a cute story. What was the cute story about? Rabbi Gamliel and Tevi, however you want to pronounce his name exactly, who, have you guys had other times in your learning life where you've come across him? He's like, the world famous Eved? The Gadol HaDor Eved, exactly, the Gadol HaDor Eved. He was a big tzaddik, he's a big Talmid Chacham. Yes, excellent. All good examples. Yes, so classically in Chazal and in Mishnah or Gemara, Eved as a category is assumed to be on a very low moral, spiritual level. But Tevi is the exception to the rule. Tevi was a Talmid Chacham, Rabbi Gamliel. Huh? Okay. So anyway, Lamai said his Rabbi Gamliel loved him, he respected him, but tragedy strikes in the Gemara Baba Kama. Despite his love of his of Eved, what did Rabbi Gamliel do by accident? He blinded him. Nebuch, what a terrible story. And yet Rabbi Gamliel is happy. How could he be happy? So you think he did it on purpose? No, not true at all. No. You're confusing non-Jewish slavery and Jewish slavery. You're never allowed to hit your slave, ever. You're never allowed to hit your slave. Never, ever, ever. Totally awesome. I don't exactly know what happened, but I'm sure, of course, it was an accident. That's the entire assumption.
Well, maybe he did it on purpose, letting him free him.
Maybe. Okay. Anything is possible, even when it's not. So the Gemara says, He wrote, what did Rabbi Gamaliel do? So peculiar. Hayasamech simcha gedola. So he ran to Rabbi Yeshua. What did he say? Iata yodeh shetevi avdi yatzal acheris. What are you talking? What are you happy for today? You know, it's a bris milah. You know, a wedding. You know, what happened? Tevi is going to go free. Baruch Hashem. Amar lo, lama. Why? So he admits it. He's not embarrassed. I'm sure he feels bad, but he's not denying it. No, I blinded him by accident. Amar lo, aim b'dvarecha klum. Not that it's not true, but it's have the impact you hope for. Why? Shekfar ein lo edim. Because there's no witnesses to it. The only reason that we know about it is from you. So then you'd have to compensate the slave. Okay, that's mammon. But to let him go free from that is a kenas on the adon. And here he says, just by you admitting it, it wouldn't happen. There's no witnesses. Hayesh lo edim chayiv. But if there would have been edim, okay. But there isn't. So Gemara says, what do you see from this? V'shamina mina moda b'knas. This is the Gemara's leap from the story that Rabbi Yeshua was telling him. Not only is he potter now because there's no Edim, but even if Edim will come, even if Edim will come, you with me, Nuriel? You with me, Coleman? Even if Edim will come, you'll still be potter. Wow. So Gemara says, Amalei, Shiner Ram Gamliel. No, this story doesn't really have relevance because he wasn't in Beis Din. No, even if you're talking to the Av Beis Din, but if you're not in court, it doesn't have that stature. So in this case, it was a total hoda chutz la Beis Din. And then, even if anything happens later with Edim, nothing else. So says the Gemara here, you can't prove the idea. The Gemara wanted to tell us two things. Not only that Motiv Knas is Potter, but Motiv Knas Achachach Bo Edim, we could learn from the story of Gamaliel, would also be Potter. So then the Gemara says, no, that's not a proof. You can't bring a proof from the story. One second. So then the Gemara says, okay, maybe you can't bring a proof from the story one way or the other. But Lamai said, it is a Machlokas. And this gets us to the world famous Machlokas of Rav and Shmuel. Motiv Knas Achachach Bo Edim. Rav Amar Potter. Shmuel Amar Chayev. Now before we get to some Svaras, which I enjoyed talking with some of you guys yesterday, so we can continue the conversation in a moment. But before we get to some Svaras, the Gemara itself gives the basis. Where would the various Rav and Shmuel, where would the Amorim, where would they know this from? What would be the basis of it? So here we get back to the Limud. Shmuel says, what's the reason? What Rav says first. Im hi matse be'edim, ti matse be'dayanim, prat lamarshia atzmo. He says, no, there's another pasuk, a few psukim earlier, same perek, perkapet pasuk gimel. Im himatzi timatzi biyado haganeva, mishor vad chamor atzat, chayim shnayim yishalim. So you get found, you get caught. Right? You were a shomer who said that something happened, that the shore ran away, but himatzi timatzi, we found out that you really had it. So the Gemara darshan is the name of Rav. Why the double language? Im himatzi be'edim, timatzi be'dayanim. So it's with Edim and Dayanim in a formal court case, you're going to be Chayiv. Prat Lamarshia Atzmo. That alone, says Rav, would have been a sufficient drasha to tell me that the only way you could be Chayiv in a Knas is in a legal context. Edim, Dayanim. But before you could even have 1 second to enjoy the brilliant, beautiful, elegant, creative reading of the Pasuk, wow, what a nice drasha, how creative, how nice. Before you can even enjoy it for 1 second, the Gemara takes away your pleasure and says, Lamalu, but it's actually totally irrelevant. What do we need this drasha for? After all, we had another one already. Ma'asher yarshiyun nafka. The Gemara is assuming that that's the primary makor, asher yarshiyun, even according to the Rav. So what do we need the second one for? So he explains, Elishma mina, Motiv Knas Achach Bo Edim, Potter. So if you say, according to Rav, why is Motiv B'Knas Potter? Asher Yershiyun. Why is Motiv B'Knas V'Achachach Bo Edim? And you're still Potter, according to Rav. Two Dinim? Because there are, according to Rav, two Psukim. Asher Yershiyun, and Himatzei. That's Rav's Shita. What about Shmuel? Shmuel disagrees, says the Gemara. Shmuel says, no. Motiv B'Knas V'Achachach Bo Edim? You are Chayiv. Pay up. Aye, but didn't Rav have Kim? So what is the Gemara answer? What is the basis of Shmuel Shita?
The first pasuk talks about actual stealing.
It's a chiddush because the drusha of the first pasuk, the actual first pasuk, was talking about who's stealing. Who's stealing? The first pasuk, Pashup Shah, before you get to Shmuel's drusha. No. A shomer who abuses his custodialship. Whatever the word is. But says Shmuel, why do we have Himatze Timatze? To tell me not only is it a shomer gone bad, but even if it's an actual ganav also has these type of penalties. So therefore, says Shmuel, we only have one pasuk that relates to Moda B'Knas, that is our Sher Yishiyun, but Achakach Bo'edim, there's no pasuk to Mimamayate that, and I would suggest, this is, I'm not saying no one else says this, but just to me, reading the Gemara, what would come out then, according to Shmuel, is why does he disagree with Rav? Because he thinks that's more logical. In other words, let's stop for a second, before we get into the deeper lumdus. If you have a din, right? There's this new din of Moda B'Knas, Achach Bo Edim. So, if one opinion has a pasuk to teach him what the halacha is, when the other opinion, in this case Shmuel, all we see in the Gemara is that he doesn't hold of Rav's pasuk. He doesn't hold of Rav's drasha. If we would stop there, I'm not saying this is a huge point, but I think it's not an unimportant point either. If we would stop there, the only thing the Gemara tells us is that Shmuel doesn't like Rav's pasuk. Is that itself a basis to disagree with Rav? Or he could just agree with him logically. I mean, there's any number of reasons why he could still agree with the psak. We have that a lot in Gemara, where a different Amorayim or Tanayim even agree on the psak but have different psukim, different limudim. Yet the Gemara leaves it as obvious that once Shmuel, at least in his opinion, has neutralized the pasuk of Rav, the only remaining alternative for Shmuel is what, Gedaliah? Once he neutralized the pasuk, is to disagree with the psak. Now, to me, if you take a step back for a second, that may be logical, it may even be compelling, but it's not obvious, and it's not necessary. But the Gemara seemed to assume it as if it was. So how would you bridge that? What is the one little thing we're missing? Apparently, according to Shmuel, between the two alternatives, which one's more logical? So between the two possibilities, in the case of Moda B'Knas V'Achach Bo, are you Chayv or Potter? Which is the more logical possibility? Shmuel obviously feels that Chayv is the more logical one. Right. So if you have a pasuk like Rav has, okay, you have a pasuk. But once he neutralizes the pasuk, again, to me, you could disagree if you want, but to me, that's not an obvious reason to disagree with the psak. So you don't have a pasuk. So I think the reason is because Shmuel thinks it's just misvara. If you don't have a pasuk to tell me otherwise, he thinks it's more logical to say, okay, then you must be chayiv. If I had a pasuk, I had a pasuk. But once I've neutralized Rav's pasuk, apparently Shmuel thinks that the more logical approach, right? Anytime you're talking about something that's quote-unquote obvious, so obvious, even though it's no pun intended, obviously is in the eyes of the beholder, right? What one person thinks is logical, very often people think it makes no sense, right? That's the beauty and frustration of life. So here, the very fact that Shmuel right away disagrees without any scriptural, without any pasuk as a basis, I think the only reason that it was so obvious to the Gemara that once you pulled away the drusha, Memela Shmuel has this basis for disagreeing, the way you would bridge that is at least for Shmuel, that's logic comes in. If you think something is logical, then unless you have a pasuk, now often pasukim are counterintuitive. Okay? We yield and we bow our head to the authority of the pasuk, of the drusha, when we have one. If you don't have one, so not only is Svara a human intuitive mechanism to make decisions in life, we're always using our Svaras, but not only that, halakhically, the Gemara often will say, Lama li kra Svarahu, Svarahi, right? Svara is considered, if it's unimpeachable, even a basis of a din d'oraisa. So certainly in this case, I think, again, this is not to belabor the point, but I think you see, it's not just an issue of drusha. Drasha is important. Rav obviously has a drasha, and we would like to understand Rav's logic also. If you assume, I'll raise the question this way. If I'm right, then the place to start being ma'ayin is Shmuel Shita. What's so logical about his Shita? When we get that, what should be our next question? Why does Rav disagree? Disagree with the logic, but say, what could I do? It's a pasuk. Or what's the alternative? Maybe he thinks, come on, somebody, wake up. That, no, but yeah, he does quote a pasuk. If it was just logic, he might even, but either he agrees with Shmuel's logic, but he says, what can I do? I have a pasuk. Or he says, the pasuk is what's magala to us, a different logic. So if we'll ask, what's the lomdus, what's the svara behind it, it could be that there's one svara for Moda B'Knas. Rav and Shmuel both agree. Aye, but they disagree in this particular case. That's because of technical machlokas, they have a drasha or not. Or it could be that Rav's drasha is the basis, is the source for him viewing the whole halacha of Moda B'Knas as different than Shmuel. From the Gemara itself, I'd say those are two very open possibilities. But those are the two possibilities. And again, as you are, I hope, sogya by sogya, day by day, daf by daf, improving your learning skills, so this is what you want to come out with just by reading the Gemara, before you see any Rishonim. What was the assumption? What was the basis of the disagreement? What are options? Yes? I'll give you one. Because the pasuk says, "The olam behem tavodu." It's itself. I don't want to get distracted on that. I don't want to get distracted on the avadim thing, but you have famous Gemara and Brachos. That's what the freeing of the slave for the minion. An Evid Kanani, all things equal, we're not allowed to free. Yes, good. So that, good avadim sugyas. Yes, true. But there is a halacha called "La olam behem tavodu." Look, it's what, you have your sheet?
Yeah.
What,
is it Imhimatzei?
The first, it's the earlier one. Imhimatzei, Timatzei.
Is that the actual Imhimatzei?
Yes. Yes. Kaf Bet Gimel, you see it? On your sheet?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, Gedalia.
For Rav to say that, how would we say that the Rav says that the Pasuk is disagreeing, is Megala a new logic?
Maybe.
Meaning so. He would still agree that it's the less logical approach, at first sight.
No, you mean prima facie before there was a Torah.
Meaning before the pasuk came and said otherwise.
Maybe, yeah, maybe not. That doesn't matter. In other words, the point is: are they arguing over a logical point, or are they agreeing on the concept? But just Rav says, "I have a pasuk that tells me otherwise." I think that's the two options. That's not obvious. Okay. Again, I think the only thing I think is mukhrach. As a svara, that Shmuel thinks he has a svara.
What is mukhrach?
Necessary, like obvious, compelling. Okay? So now, before we see how we understand Moda B'Knas Potter, maybe we should try to understand what is Knas. Right? Lecha'ora, there should be some association between how Knas works, and the nature of Knas, and the nature of Mammon. Because let me raise the question. Logically, I don't mean that can you come up with a svara, but intuitively, maybe it's a better word. If you had never learned this concept, let's say your whole learning career had ended on Friday, you never knew this idea in high school, and you didn't know this idea since Shabbos, would you have assumed the halacha of Moda B'Knas? Logically, intuitively. I don't when I say logically, the reason I'm, maybe it's not the best word, because you could come up with a logic for it. It's not illogical. But is it intuitive? So I would say it's not necessarily intuitive at all. Now someone tell me even a better problem, a bigger problem with it. It goes against, right, a strong logical argument against something is always a strong argument, very strong. Svara is good. But there's something even stronger than that. And that's internal contradiction. If any of you ever decide to become lawyers, so whether it's in law school or in your actual life, right, whenever you're in any kind of mock debate or any kind of debating, right, whenever you can show an internal inconsistency in the other guy, in the other position, that is stronger than any logic or any other authority you can appeal to, right, to show that their own words bring them down. That's the strongest thing you could do. So an internal question is even better than an external one. So what's an internal halachic thing which makes motive knas totally counterintuitive, to say the least? I'll give you a hint. We recently talked about it. It's not a trick question. This is the easy part of the SATs before they start trying to trick you. What? Hodas piv. If I never knew about Hodas piv, maybe I would say maybe halacha never believes people to be mechayev them in mamon. But once we have a halacha that's already on the books, Hodas baldin kemei eidim dami. So this, every mode of knas is Hodas baldin. What's the difference if I'm being mode about mamon or if I'm being mode about knas? There is seemingly no logic to that distinction. Now maybe we'll find out that there is, but prima facie, on the face of it, it's not just that I wouldn't have thought of it on my own. It's that on its face, it contradicts another halacha. Now that, ladies and gentlemen, that's a real problem. That needs investigation. Yes.
I mean, I think that you could easily say that because the word "das" is punitive, and it's to discourage people or to punish people.
Well, so what I said before is exactly what I said before. I'm not saying you can't speculate to what a logic is.
That seems to be just.
Okay.
The point of the law is to punish.
But you how many assumptions you just make in that one sentence?
That it's punitive.
And is it to get them to do it? Right. You may be right. Maybe you're not right. It's not obvious.
I think the only assumption is that it's punitive.
Maybe.
You seem to have said at the beginning of this year.
Maybe. Okay. I'm saying, but the point that doesn't just because something is punitive does not mean that by you admitting. I may give you an example. My children, of course, are perfect.
You may not have really thought otherwise.
Maybe yes, maybe no. What do you mean? In the case of Rabbi Shmuel, Adam came the next minute, or for that matter, the next hour. It doesn't matter. Adam could always come. Just because you were moded doesn't mean there's no...
Moded while the Adam are on their way, it still works?
For sure. I mean, again, according to Rav, it wouldn't matter. Yeah, in other words, there's no way to know... You know, it's not everything's like a John Grisham thriller. In other words, there's no reason to assume that if the only reason we know about it is because the person, you know, decided to admit. You know, there could have been... either in dramatic, you know, courtroom thriller style, or otherwise, you know, witnesses walking through the back of the courtroom, or, you know, you never know. There's no way to know that. But not only is that true, but even if you're right that it's punitive, it could be, I'm not saying it's illogical, I didn't say it's illogical. It could be that we would say, since it's punitive, the fact that you were moded, that shows you learned your lesson, and you take responsibility. I could hear that. Obviously, that should get you off the hook. You know, very. If one of my children, I don't know, I'm just giving an example. Let's say he went out, he had a curfew. And let's say he's old enough that at this point already I go to sleep him before he comes home. But then it turns out that I woke up and, you know, it's 10 minutes after the curfew and he's still not home. I went back to sleep. The next morning I come downstairs, he's waiting for me. Ab, I want to tell you something. I feel so bad. I lost track of time. I know you were sleeping when I came home. I tiptoed. But I just want you to know I came home, you know, 30 minutes afterwards. So he was mode. Now, I might decide as a parent, you know, because he was honest and forthright, I'm not going to punish him or whatever I would otherwise have done had he denied it or never said anything. But I might, I think, you know, this is certainly on the face of it just as legitimate a parenting decision, say, I appreciate your honesty. Maybe I'll even give him a less of a punishment, or maybe I won't even change it up. But the bottom line is, I think this is so important, you need to have a punishment. Next Friday night, you can't go out, or whatever it is. It's not obvious that just because it's punitive, that someone's hodah should get them off the hook. It might be. It's not illogical. I'm not saying it's illogical. I just don't think it's obvious. When you add to the fact that we already have hodahs baldin, so what's going on? So you're assuming, which is not a bad assumption, maybe you would have thought of it on your own, maybe you're thinking of it because of the ksos or whoever, that hodahs, that motive knas means we believe you, but there's this other value of your rehabilitation or whatever, that we're therefore not going to punish you. But that's not even obviously what motive knas pater means, right? As hopefully by now you all know what I'm alluding to. But before we get, let's take a break for a second, okay? Let's put it all in parentheses. Halachically, is there a difference? Forget motive knas. Adam come, found you guilty of stealing. Therefore, there's going to be mamon, pay back the iPad, and Kefil, give him a second iPad. Right? Adam, nothing to do with motive knas. This is the backdrop of our topic. Is there a difference halachically, conceptually, between the mamon, the first iPad, and the kefil, the knas, the second iPad? You guys with me in the back row? At the laptop row there? We're good? We're together? Okay. Is there a difference or not? So which Gemara, which Rishon, which Achron addressed that question for us? Anyone?
A bunch of people.
Bueller. Bueller. Who discussed that? I'll give you a hint. It's the earlier part of the Makaro sheet. The Gemara Makos, Tosfos, and the Gilyon HaShas. What was the case of the Gemara Makos? Come on, at least some of you were learning yesterday. Let's go. Participatory.
Oh, this is...
What?
Oh, so the case, so Tatum came, said this guy stole it on a certain day, and then there were two different cases. One is where the second year...
Let's focus on the relevant one. You're right, there were two cases. You're right.
Okay, fine, so then the second case is the one that's relevant.
Yes,
so
correct.
The second case is that him say, no, you were with us on the day that you said, but earlier... or the week before you came, he actually stole it. So
they were husum-sized.
Yeah.
That's my made-up word.
So
they were husum-sized. So what's the halacha usually? You guys have probably all learned makos or whatever. What is usually the halacha for husum-sizing? For Adam Zomim?
They get, exactly.
Even though in the end the person did not have to pay, right? That's if we were learning makos, that's the chok, the paraduma of Adam Zomim. It's kasher zaman velo kasher lasos, one of the most mysterious halachos in all of Torah Shabbat Pei, I would say. If the Adam Zomim's evil nefarious plot comes to fruition and the person is punished unfairly, then even though they did an avera, it's terrible, they don't get that penalty of having to pay the guy back. Only if their plans are thwarted do they have to pay the penalty. Right? But we're not learning makos now. Very mysterious halacha. So in this case, they should have to pay double. Right? Because this guy was innocent, you would think. They testified, they were husum-sized, so they would have to pay two iPods if they came and testified that he stole an iPad. But what happens, says the Gemara, if there were Adim in addition, who eventually tell us that even though the original Adim couldn't have known, they were lying, because Imanu HaYisem, they were in Disney World at the time. But, by the way, it's true that he had stolen the day before. So what did the Gemara say about that case? That the Adam Zomim are not chayiv in the... we're not sure what it's talking about. They're not chayiv in something. Why? Because this guy is not such an innocent guy. The Adam, everyone's a loser in this case. Everyone's bad. The Adam Zomim were bad because they were lying, obviously. But the guy was not some innocent victim about to be, you know, totally victimized. Because he himself was already... What was the lashon of the Gemara? He was already a bar. What was it called? A bar? A bar tashlumen. He really already owed. That's an interesting, interesting Edom Zomim Torah here. Since he was already owed, we know that. Klapei Shmaya, so to speak. Right? Hashem knew. The court didn't know yet. But since we already knew objectively that he was someone he owed this money, there was an obligation. So the Edom Zomim are not obligated. It's not 100% clear from the Gemara not obligated. What? So came along Tosos and said, "Aval varai le'inyan mamon lo." What the Gemara means is that these Adam Zomim aren't going to have to pay the double, but the actual Karen, the one iPad, they're for sure going to have to pay. Now, some of you, I didn't put it on the sheet, but some of you, and it's a yeshikach to those who did, looked up the Tosos inside. So if you look up the Tosos, you saw. Now, what was the basis of Tosos distinguishing? Here's an early example, at least for our purposes, the first example we're seeing, of a distinction between Knas and Mamon. Right? The Adam Zomimim were lying about both. They got caught about both. It's really true about both. So what's the basis to distinguish? Say the Adam Zomimim will have to pay back the Mamon, but their lucky day, despite their evil intent, they're not going to get the full punishment, they're not going to have to pay back Knas. So Tosos gave what kind of a distinction? If you looked it up? Huh?
Whether you are a bar chiyuv or
not. No, what did Tosos say?
Mamon is carved with
iPad. It sounds like a very practical, excellent. It's very practical. What are the likelihood the witnesses would come, we would find out? Knas, you're not a slave bar chiyuv yet because no one had testified. But it was a very pragmatic kind of technical thing. But I don't want to get hung up on Tosos for now. But I would just, if you saw it, or I'm mentioning it now, just because it sets up the Gilyon HaShas. Who is the Gilyon HaShas? The Gilyon HaShas is Rabbi Akiva Eger. If you opened up a Vilna Shas, like a real Gemara on Makos, on the bottom of the page, you would see in this particular case, Taf Hayam and Aleph in Makos, the Gilyon HaShas. That's where I got it from to put it on the sheet. Or in your Gemara's on the side. Fair enough. Somewhere in the margin. So what is the Gilyon HaShas say? What does the Halakha Rabbi Akiva Eiger say? So let's read this together. If you have the source sheets in front of you, it's the top of the second page. To read it. Ariel, you want to read it?
No.
Okay. It was not a rhetorical question, so you don't have to read it. Who wants to read it? Okay, take it away.
Duron after Lake Aiden Cloud.
Comma. Right. And therefore, because there's no Edim, therefore the Bezdin would have no basis to be Mechayev him. Stop! Bell's going off. Surprise, not surprise. This is obvious, not obvious. Huh? Correct, but he didn't say mode. He said yodea ha'emes. In other words, what's Rabbi Akiva Eiger saying? Excellent. You hear what he said? Say that again, louder.
There's a view of mammon already from the time the act happened.
In other words, the objective reality, the objective truth of it, which the Ganef knows, that's what creates the obligation. Now you'll tell me, come on, Rabbi. So what? Isn't there halacha that there needs to be witnesses, the Bezdin has to paskin? What would Rabbi Akiva Eiger say to that? Why is that? That's just because in the real world, most ganavim don't decide to walk in and admit it. So you need witnesses to prove it, because human beings aren't neviim. And Bezdin has rules about what they can act on. So there's certain rules of admissible evidence. You need edim. So practically, here's the key point. Practically, in order for there to be a hechi timsa, a practical way for this guy to actually be found guilty, it's true, you will need Edim and you will need a Bezdin. But says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, in essence, you're not done yet, by the way. I'm just giving you a chance to collect your thoughts and breathe. Says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, all of that, the need for the Edim, the need for the Dayanim, all this stuff, Elohim, the Torah uses three times, it's all just practical. But theoretically, we could do without it. It's just in the real world, how often are you going to get a ganef to come in and just pay, you know, knock on the guy's door and pay it back? I know I did it was wrong. It does happen every now and then. You read about it every now and then. The best is when you read about the guy, you know, who 40 years later goes back to the old neighborhood and says, I had this library book, I know I owe. You know, and then they say, okay, thanks for being a tzaddik. Now you owe like $800 in library fines. Like, okay, I'm not such a tzaddik, goodbye. Prove it. Okay, but doesn't happen that often. So practically, we need a system with Edim, with Dayanim. There needs to be a legal system. But objectively, halachically, what obligates him to make restitution? Just the very fact that he stole. He did something wrong. He has to pay back. Continue. Mashain Cain.
The truth of the matter does not make him like chayav to pay.
So in your own words, what is Rabbi Akiva Eiger saying the difference is between mammon and knas?
Well, by mammon, the admission of the guy like activates the...
Not the admission. The admission is true, but before the admission.
The true knowledge of the guy activates the chiyuv when he comes and tells Bezdin that he did it. But
or even before he tells Bezdin. I'm saying he's already...
No,
I don't think you need to say that. When he tells Bezdin, or when Bezdin find out, because they can find out from Edom too, so that will allow Bezdin to act on it, to enforce it. But he's already chayev from the very fact that he did it. We don't know about it. He's not telling us. Nothing we can do about it. But if I had, you know, the big projector in the sky, he is already chayev. However, when it comes to knas,
only Bezdin can make somebody mechayev in the first place.
And is that a pragmatic phenomenon?
Yes, no, maybe.
Those are the three options.
No.
Final answer. Do you want a lifeline? You could ask one guy in this year. Okay, that's a touche. It is not a pragmatic consideration, says Rabbi Akiva Eiger. When it comes to mammon, the first iPad, Without Besdin, pragmatically, practically, there's just no way, because again, when I say no way, no way 99% of the time, because who's going to walk into court, or for that matter, knock on his neighbor's door and say, I was the guy sneaking around your living room at 2 in the morning last night, here it's back, I feel bad about it. I'm not going to be a game banger anymore, I'm going to go to college and get my GED. Anyway, only in LA. Anyway, I'm not a blood or a crip anymore. Ben Torah. Anyway, so that's pragmatic when it comes to the moment. But says Rabbi Akiva Eger. By the way, if any of you guys know, there's a family nowadays, I mean, I don't know how many relatives are, but I know some of them, named Eger. They're descendants of Rabbi Akiva Eger. They just changed the vowels. The Eger family. One of the members of my shul in Baltimore married an Eger. Very excited to know that she was a descendant of Rabbi Akiva Eger. Anyway, so says Rabbi Akiva Eger. When it comes to Knas, Nishtazoi. It's not that way. It's not just that pragmatically we need the Bezdin. But rather, what is it? Because without a psak Bezdin, there is no Chiyuv. There is no Knas. Exactly. It doesn't exist. Not just that we don't know about it. Not just that we can't do anything about it. It doesn't exist, period. But didn't he do the same Maisa Geneva for which the Torah says there is a Knas? It doesn't matter. The objective act of stealing or nezek or whatever else or ones or hurting the eved, that objectively, automatically creates the chayiv to make restitution. But the penalty, but the fine, now maybe Rabbi Liss is right for the motivation. Maybe he's right. I'm not saying you're wrong. But that was speculative tamei mitzvos. But in a more strict halachic, legal perspective, says Rabbi Kiveger, there's a difference. Knas is not just enforced by the Beis Din, it is created by the Beis Din. You could tweet that. That's a tweetable quote. Knas is created by the Beis Din. Mamon is enforced by the Beis Din. But it's created by the objective reality, by the action in and of itself. In the next source I gave you, the Shara Yosher. Anyone know what the Shara Yosher is? By the way, in the future, if you ever get like a you never heard of, since there's a rumor that you guys look at your smartphones during Morning Seder, Epis, I heard maybe somebody ever, maybe once even put out a picture of a cat or something in the middle of Morning Seder, or something Epis maybe like that, or other silly things that aren't involved Makoros. So if you, given that I know you have such a device, and you even look at it, in all seriousness, you could just Google it. You'll find out probably, what is it, less than 3 seconds or less than 1 second. You can find out who was the author of the Shara Yosher. Do it now.
Do it.
Or just ask Fruchter. He's walking Google.
I looked it up.
You did look it up.
Remembered, so.
Okay. Shkoyach, giving props to your buddy. Excellent. Okay. So the Shara Yosher was written by Rav Shimon Shkop. Do you know how you, well done. Do you know how you spell Rav Shimon Shkop in Hebrew? How do you say shkup? Excellent, Fodeman. Say that loud and proud.
Lowercase
K. What do you mean? It's the last word, last letter of the word. What's the? Oh! I was trying to hand deliver you right into the end zone. I was a lead blocker for you. You lateraled it back to me. Thank you. You lateraled it back to me.
Is that like Rashi
Taylor? No. A pay so fee at the end of the word would be shkup. The lowercase pay is shkup. I'm just telling you, this is just the convention. I'm not like an expert in these things. This is just a fact. Uvda. If you see a pay at the end of a word, that's why. Because that's the way they're telling you it's puh, not fuh. So Rav Shimon Shkop was Rosh Hashiva of one of the great Lithuanian Shivas known as? Kormla? You're now a resident expert in Rav Shimon Shkop. Grudna. Grudna. He had been a Rebbe in Tells, and then he was Arizona Shiva in Grudna. And then he did spend a year in YU. So when you go to the YU Svarim sale, and they have a table in the front of like YU Rebbeim Svarim, so if someone has no busha, they put Rav Shimon Shkop Svarim there. Because 100 years ago, we taught that for a year. All right, it's true.
Two years.
Okay, two. Yes, it does count. Anyway, whatever the story is. Yes, you heard about that?
Yes.
Did I tell you, or someone else told you?
No, I heard it from somebody else.
It is all true, presumably. Anyway. So it says Rav Shimon Shkop has two svarim. This is worth knowing. There are chidushim on various
yeshiva shem asechtas, the baba kamas, the baba metzias, the ksubas, the gittins. He has chedushim, Rabbi Shimon Yehuda, a kohen, right, shkab. But he also wrote a sefer of just like collected essays on various meta shas topics called Sharei Yoshar. Very hard sefer. I gave you a relatively easy piece here, but overall it's a very hard. It's one of those svarim in his style in general. It's very much blurring the lines sometimes, or certainly on the line, between philosophy and lamdus. The real strict, yeah, you would love him, but the real strict briskers with the capital B, not as big a fan as Rav Shimon Shkab. But Rav Lichtenstein once in a piece, I think he was, I don't know if he used the name, but I'm pretty sure, I think he used the name Pels, but I think it was definitely a rabbi of the list of Rav Shimon Shkab. He said the briskers used to refer to it as wrong-headed lamdus. So I like to say in our generation, we're not such a madrega that we could make such fine distinction between the brisker derech and the Telzer version of the brisker derech. Like if it's a good piece of Rav Shimon Shkab, I'm happy to use it. And if it's a good piece by Rav Chaim, I'm happy to use that. So what did Rav Shimon Shkab say about knas? He gives the example not like Rav Akiva Eger of Adam Zomim, but of? His example was of? I grab his phone. Tfisa, ooh, what is Tfisa? So Tfisa is the halakhic question. Whether it applies or not, it's been part of the debate we've seen. But Tfisa is the idea that in certain circumstances, you can grab something, and even though we might not have possibly that you could get it, but if you grab it, we won't take it away from you. Now, obviously, if you were outright stealing, we would take it away from you. So it must be a case in which there was some basis for your position, even though you jumped the gun before there was a psak, or even though maybe on a technicality you might not have gotten it, but there's enough of a basis that you're not a robber that sometimes we say, oh, this is part of the machlokas, but there's such a concept in halacha of itafis, right? So if you take it, we're not going to take it away from him. Lo mafkinan. We're not going to take it away from the person. So says Rabbi...
Even if there's no basis whatsoever, it would be so okay. Even if you just grab that up there, we have no idea.
I think then we would. That's what we call as a ganav. A pickpocket. I did Tfisa! It's my wallet, buddy. That's not called Tfisa, that's called robbery.
In the case of Shnai Mosin?
Oh, you want me to talk about Shnai Mosin? Who said he was Tofis it? They both said they grabbed it at the same time. That's not the story. And if one witness said that I had the talis and you grabbed it, then that would be Shnai Mosin. Right? Shnai Mosin is, they both, we have no reason to know, we only know their stories and they both say they grabbed it. And we don't have any knowledge of anything else. Right? Okay. So says Rabbi Shimon Shkab, maybe that's another distinction between Mammon and Knas.
Can you explain that again?
Yes. That maybe if there's a case in which I know that you have Mammon that's owed to me, says Rabbi Shkab, maybe in that case there's more likely of a chance that if I grab it, Bez isn't going to let you keep it. When it comes to a Knas, says Rabbi Shimon Shkab, let's just read the line here. He says Rabbi Shimon Shkab, there's a certain suffix. Could be that you really owed it. You have basis for it. But maybe there's not enough proof that we would actually give you the money by court. But so in that case, Shemeshkop, could be that if you grab it, we'll let you keep it. So says Rabbi Shemeshkop, Hasam ikamish maya galya shechayef anitvel shalem chiyav zolanivka machmas edu yediyah shel bezdin. Who does he sound like? Mama, she sounds like Rabbi Kivager. Right? Because he's talking about You with me? He says what? He's talking about the klapei shmai, this objective reality, the knowledge of the fact. That very fact, that objectively, that knowledge, so to speak, from Hashem looking down, you were chayiv, even though Bezdin didn't know it yet. Bezdin saw the suffix. Bezdin didn't paskin it yet. So therefore, if the other guy grabs it, we don't pull it away from him. Aval b'dinei knosos de ba'ina asher yarshiun Elohim shechayivu oso Bezdin. So there's no chiyuv until that. But doesn't Hashem know the same thing? It doesn't matter. It's not just that the Bezdin enforces, it's that the Bezdin creates. And until Bezdin has created it, it doesn't exist. And if you grab knas money, that's like you grabbing my wallet. That's a total geneva. As opposed to if you grab nezek money or the basic keren money, so then maybe it's not yours, but as long as it maybe is yours, Bezdin would not pull it away from you. So that's a distinction, I think, that Rabbi Akiva Eger is using in the Nafkamina of Adam Zomamin, where Shimon Shkab used in Tfisa. Everyone see that? Because we're now ready to go to the last part of the shir, which is we want to bring this all back to
motive knas pater. But this is all like a reka kleli, just a general background and how does knas work. And I can't say this is universal, and we're not doing a week-long study of knas, which probably there's enough material for. But just as a basic point, you see at least a firm basis, at least among some makoros, and I think this is generally kind of the way we assume that there's a fundamental distinction between knas and mamon. Mamon needs, on a practical level, needs bezin to enforce it, to activate it, but it's fundamentally already there. So it's a knas, which is created by the psach bezin, and it literally does not exist, even though Hashem knows the truth. Even though you know the truth, you can't handle the truth. And it does not exist, therefore, until bezin has a psach. Okay? Two questions, and we got to move on to Motiv Knas Pater, so that you guys can do some across Rabbi Tarragon. Yes?
Can we say that there is a distinction between the Yishar and the Yudin Hashasnet? Yudin may say that in the case where he's Tovah, since he thinks that he actually owns, that he's Magiel to the object, for that reason, maybe because he's Yudea, he's thinking that it is his object, so he's not Mechayev himself in that case. But since Shemayim is Mechayev, according to the Shema Yishar, then maybe it's according to Shemayim, so for that reason, there's an automatic, it's a little bit more subjective than Yudea Hashasnet.
Maybe. If you were looking to make the distinction, then that was the one you could make.
Why would the Shema Yishar use such a specific case which seems to not fit so well with the language of the Gilead Hashas?
Again, he's not reacting to the Gilead Hashas. He's just dealing with his case.
But maybe he's just like a general...
Again, I'm associating the two. If you wanted to find a distinction, so then that's probably a good one. But I'm more persuaded by not so much their subtle difference in formulation of the Kesef or the Mamon as opposed to their common formulation about the Karen.
I agree on that. Yeah. But
okay,
maybe their language is very different.
Maybe. Okay. Using. Maybe. Yeah, okay. Yes, Daniel.
Okay. In the case of the Shari Yashar, it's saying that somebody owes me money that hasn't been shown in Basin, and then I take their object?
Yes.
But, like, is it in the end determined that they owe me money? Like, what if, like, who's...
No, it's a case, it could be a case where we don't have definitive proof. It's a suffix.
Like, I just say you owe me money, and then I take their
object? Yeah, there's many different scenarios of this. But let's say there was two witnesses, and they were contradicting, you know, let's say there was one witness. Let's say you had one witness. So we can't do anything, there's only one witness. But he's a believable witness. We cross-examined him. He came through with flying colors. So you're frustrated. I have my one witness. He said, Bezin says, what could I do? So you go across, you grab it. So that's a discussion in the Gemara. But Shimon Shkop is assuming that we paskin in those kind of cases. Itofus lamafkin. We wouldn't make him give it back.
Are you allowed to take it originally, or is that not something allowed? But once you've done it.
So that's a broader tefisa question. It's a fair question, but that's too far afield for now. Okay. So let's get back to our question, okay? We're just going to spend 15, 20 minutes now with this based on, let's focus please, on Moda Biknas Pater. Everyone with me? Shake out the cobwebs. It's Monday. I don't care how your fantasy team did. We turn the clock. We're ready or your real team did. We're focusing on the 8-0 Bengals. I mean, we're focusing on Moda Biknas Pater. Did that just come out? Because I wasn't... Anyway. So, luckily this year's not being taped. Okay, anyway. So, well, if it is being taped, I'm certainly happy that they're 8-0. I mean, anyway, Motiv Knas Pater. Listen, when you've been a long-suffering fan, you have to take what you can get. So since I'm still assuming that we're going to get cursed at some point at the end of the season.
I'm a Lions fan. So
correct. We have nothing on you.
It's going to happen in the playoffs.
Thank you. Loser Cleveland fan. Anyway.
Steelers
loser Steeler fan. Anyway. It's a double loser to be from Cleveland and be a Steeler fan. It's Garsh. Anyway. Really, really bad. Anyway. I can only say that because Coleman knows I love him. Anyway. Okay. What's going on with Motiv Knas Pater? You with me? Let's put away the toys. Let's focus on the Torah. No toys? Yes, Torah. What's going on with Motiv Knas Pater? So we asked the question, how does this relate to your bro, Hodas Baldin? So in Hodas Baldin, we believe the person is Kamei Edom Dami. So what about a Motiv Knas? So how do you understand Motiv Knas? What would you say? Motiv Knas Pater. Ah, Hodas Baldin, we do believe the person, so why don't we believe the person when it comes to Knas? I believe him that he stole, I believe him that he was a Gazlan. If he tells me I was a Gazlan, I was a bank robber, I held up a guy, and I stole $20,000, Motiv Knas. I mean, Hodas Baldin, come at him, dummy. You have to pay it back. You're chayiv now. But if I came and I said I was a Ghana, if I snuck in the middle of the night, do I have to pay Kefil? No. Why do Knas Pater? What logic is that? What do you think?
Over there you can say just like Hashavas Abed, like if you steal something, you can return.
So you could have, except for that's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says you're believed. Hadas Baldin Kame Adam Dami. So why am I not believed here? Or am I believed here? What's going on? What do you think?
That's the difference in the base.
Let's think more. Good. Keep on thinking. It's good. What?
Because if the Knas doesn't exist yet, if you're Moda the Knas, you're not doing anything. There's no Knas there. Meaning,
I want to create it. I want to do it.
You can't create it.
Why not?
You need the Beitin needs to create it.
Oh, so one possibility is, put this over here. Can you see? I hope our Shvacha green. This is our Green Bay Packer marker.
Can we just get one for the other room?
It's more fun to use the marker and make fun of it than to get a good marker. I'm just kidding. Can you see? Is it? Can
yeah,
you see it?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. If you can see it, then it's good enough. One possibility is Hadas Baldin means we believe you. Do we believe you in class? We do believe you. It's not that we don't believe you. But simply speaking, since you need Beis Din to create the Chi of Knas, when it's motive Knas, Beis Din cannot be Mechayiv you. Whereas Beis Din have to be the ones who find it, because they're the ones who create it. If you walk in and you want to try to create it, you jump the gun.
How does that answer the question? Beis Din to make it based on your testimony.
So, Enechanami, that's the Gzeir Sakosov. Enechanami, I'm not saying this logic is so obvious that on an island I would have come to this conclusion. But we have a, if I ask you why is Mor Knas Pater, the answer is a pasuk. But what's the underlying logic of the pasuk? Apparently, this is important, Daniel. Maybe you've had this. Maybe I've mentioned this to you in the past. I don't know. Maybe you're Tarek, this is a very important point. Often, in Lomdus, Gemara, analyzing Rishonim, Gemara, Kronim, you cannot be prospective. There's a certain logical, which I can take the logic to the next step, but there's any one of the 5 reasons, 10 reasons why maybe it's not going to be the case. Maybe there's a subtle difference in my logic, a subtle weakness in my logic. Maybe there's a pasuk I don't know about, and there's a Gemara I never heard of, right? There's a lot of reasons why I might not be right prospectively. Sometimes we can do that, but very often what we do in Lomdus is not be prospective, but retrospective, reconstruct. It's not obvious, it's not necessary 1,000,000% that the Rambam had to have said it. Since he said it, what must have been the underlying assumption? Once I have the underlying assumption, can I turn around the equation and say, well, if you started with that assumption, did you have to reach the conclusion of the Rambam? Yes, it might be, maybe not. But given that the Rambam did say it, reconstructively, retrospectively, what was his basis? Right, those are two. You would like to think, and in many cases, in some cases it is the case, that it's mamash an equal sign. So it's equally compelling in both directions. But just because it's not, does not mean it's not. Just because you can't definitively project out how something should go, doesn't mean that once it does go, you can't look back and figure out how it got there. Okay? So here also, I'm not saying that if you didn't know anything, you just knew, well, Beis Din has to create a knas, therefore you would have concluded motive knas pater. But given that we know more of a Knas Pater, that's the given. So let's work backwards. What underlies that? So one possibility, it's not the only possibility, one possibility is that Beis Din simply cannot be Mechayev of you. After all, by the way, here I think it works very well with Rabbi Lissa's Shita, given that Knas is something punitive, it's above and beyond what you did, so people don't get to just do that. That's a Beis Din thing, right? You have Shoftim.
Beis Din cannot be Mechayiv.
But isn't that the other side?
Beis Din cannot be Mechayiv. In this case, Motiv Knas. Why are you Pater?
Oh, no.
Because the Beis Din cannot be Mechayiv.
Just because.
So you could add if you want.
But isn't that already the other side?
What's the other side?
I think that's.
Well, you tell me. What would you? What other way would you understand it?
That he's. That Beis Din could be Mechayiv, but they're not. Because he's by coming in and admitting it, he's already fulfilling the purpose of the Knas.
Okay, so you're adding a little bit of the Tam Emetzos philosophy, but even if we would take that out, the point is whether you say they can't or they didn't. I think it's the only difference between the two of us at this point. But Beis Din didn't. They couldn't, they didn't. I think there's a whole other possibility. What was the whole other possibility? What does the Ksos say about Rav? What did you see in a few other sources? I hope. What's the other possibility? Not that Beis Din can't or didn't mechayev the person, which again I think you guys all immediately grasped, connects to our discussion of what's the basis of Knas to begin with. Given that Beis Din is the one who creates the Knas. Okay, good. So that explains which Shita. Again, I'm not saying that's not a good possibility. What's an alternative possibility?
You're saying that's not the alternative. You're saying that's that.
So far, but what's a completely different thing which we haven't said yet?
Connected to the Torah.
It's not just that the person wasn't obligated. It's that his hodah is a petur. Hodah is a petur. If you want to go really sharp, and again, quoting myself here, you don't have to take it this far. But if you do, it makes it crystal clear. Or Sameach takes it. Or Sameach say, he added one thing. Have you saw the Or Sameach? This is the line you should not have missed. What did the Or Sameach say? Why is Hodah Patur? Because it's as if you paid. It's not Motiv Knas Patur. It's Motiv Knas paid. How did he pay? His Hodah is the Tashlum.
Right, so isn't that mortifies? Isn't that the same as saying, that's much closer to
Mordechai's
reasoning and what I was saying.
Hold on one second. Maybe yes, maybe no, but let's just make sure we get this one there. So Hodah is a Petur. You don't have to go as far as the Or Sameach, but let's say Hodah is a Petur. You have been, either you could say, I'll say it this way, the way I would usually understand that is, I would say, again, it's counterintuitive. It's not logical. I wouldn't say it's illogical. It's not necessarily logical. It's as if you've been found innocent. Not innocent, maybe that's the right way for it. Not guilty is not the same thing as innocent, right? There's a verdict that you're in it. There's a verdict of pure. Let's put it that way. There's a verdict. Why? Apostle. It's the Gzeres HaKosov. But again, what does the Gzeres HaKosov tell me? A verdict that you are putter.
So according to that said, you're high, but then...
Or, the Or Sameachs.
Paid your debt.
Not a verdict that you're putter. You paid. Quotes with your now that may maybe be very understandable according to Mordechai. What does that mean? The whole purpose is really educational. So by you coming, you admitted it. You've accomplished that. Could be. Okay, but the point is, it's all under this approach. We've actively closed the case. It's a poter. It's a verdict of you don't have to pay, or it's as if you did pay. I'm contrasting that with this. Beis Din can't or didn't mechayev you.
So how is it different than the right side? How is the far right different?
Because here there's no verdict. It's an open case, just we can't do anything about it. It's an open case.
Well, by definition, if you don't say you're chayev, you're puter.
No. Well, no, you're just not... They're nothing. It's an open case.
But like, if I don't owe you $100, then I'm putter for paying you
$100. Again, practically, is any money going to leave your bank account? You're right. Here it's the same. But I think logically, it's for sure not necessarily the same. One's an open case. One is a verdict. It's over. But here, I'll tell you, the better thing is, I'll ask you a question. Motiv b'knas v'achrach bo'edim. Or Motiv b'knas v'achrach bo'edim l'Beis Din acher. These are all terms that should be familiar with you if you've done Mekoros. So if you hold that the Hodah is a poter, I should have said a p'tur, poter, probably put the vav here. It is a poter. There is a verdict that you're poter, or mamash as if you paid.
Poter now. I think that makes
sense. In this case, I guess it would be a verb. It is a poter. Exempts you, or it means as if you paid. So then, who's Shita and Amoraim works beautifully with that? Rav, right? Even though Be'edim came, what do you mean? Edim is the gold standard. We now know you did do this. Forget, ignore your Hodah. Edim came. What logic does Rav have? It must be some version of this. Whichever one. You don't have to take the Rasamayach's approach. But there's a poter. So we've already closed the case. You see, Daniel, there's a big difference. It's not an open case that we just don't have enough evidence for. Xeris HaKosov, your hodah doesn't help us. Okay, but maybe you're still guilty. We didn't close the case. But if you hold that there's mamash a poter, there's a verdict. Either because you paid Kilu like them or Sameach, or just verdict you don't have to pay. So then Rav makes sense. Who cares that Adam came? It sounds like it. But Shmuel, maybe Achak Bo Adam. Yeah, we didn't say you're potter, we just didn't say you're chayev. We couldn't. I share your Shion Elohim. It's a Xeris HaKosov. Knossos can only come from the Bezdin. So here, 5 minutes ago, 5 years ago, when you were Moda, we couldn't do anything about it. But now that Adim come, Vachach Bo Adim, Lamalo, so you're Chayev.
But even Rav will work with that side.
Right? Rav
could work, that's what the Ksod's saying in the whole thing, right?
Again, once you.
Even once he's Moda,
again, I'll tell you what. No, before you get to Achach Bo Adim, they're both good possibilities. Once you say Achach Bo Adim Potter, very hard to understand that. I mean, you could, but I think it makes much more sense to say it this way. Don't you agree? You don't agree.
No, it makes more sense, but doesn't the Ksod discuss it with that side also?
In which question? Not in the original Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. I don't think so.
Okay.
What does he discuss, though? You're right. Sort of, almost close.
But he definitely discusses two base things.
That's not the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. That's an additional Machlokas. That's a Machlokas Alpida Machlokas. Should it matter, he quotes an earlier Achronim, should it matter, even according to Rav, if the Adim came to a second Bezdin? So what do you say? What do you think?
The Adim came to the second Bezdin after his mode in the first Bezdin.
Correct.
And they should be able to mitzvah him in the second Bezdin.
Why? Don't say you should. Because
not mode in that Bezdin. The whole concept is that if he's mowed in front of a base team, that base team can't be mechayev.
Okay. Maybe. Why you added that bezdin? Maybe it means
right.
If he's mowed in a bezdin.
Right.
So if you hold that it's a patur, so then I think it shouldn't matter which bezdin.
No, I agree. I'm saying
because that's like kind of a halakhic version of double jeopardy. A bezdin down you putter.
Yes, I'm not right.
And who said that? Who disagrees with the close?
The
Nesivos HaMishpat says that. Who was the Nesivos HaMishpat?
Yaakov.
Very good. From? Most people don't know his actual last name because that's not what he's usually referred to, even if he's referred to anything. He's Yaakov Mi? Lisa. Yaakov Mi Lisa. Okay? If I'm not mistaken, you could Google this. I'm pretty sure he was a contemporary of Rav Kiv Eger. They were the two big geniuses of that time.
What is
Mi? Rav Yaakov Milisa. Okay? So, if you hold that even according to Rav, Achakach bo Eidim bebezin acher, your chayiv, what do you think the svara of that is? What's the Nesivos svara? So, you could bring them all the way back to here, but then it's hard to understand the original halakha of Rav. So, what do you think? So let's start with the easier one. The Nesivos goes all in. Right? The Nesivos said, the Ksosis goes all in. He says the basis of Rav, presumably, is that it's a poter. And if it's a poter, then it doesn't matter if it's one bezdin, two bezdin. Or you could say, no, it was only a poter in this bezdin. That's a little bit hard. What's a more.
What you can say is it only prevented that bezdin from being mechayev.
Exactly, because it's all about Bezdin can't be Mechayim.
Right.
It doesn't mean that we've closed the book.
Okay.
It doesn't mean we've given him a patur. It's not double jeopardy. It was just a paralysis. Okay? One last Nafka Mina before we end. This is the thing that...
Right, so that if you do that, then you can basically say that Rav works with that side also.
If you formulate, right, if you limit Rav by saying that he meant this Bezdin, that exact word that you added, that would be the way to thread the needle if you wanted to.
How'd that work with the original?
It's harder. But again, you have a this is the easiest way to understand Rav is over here, correct?
Yeah.
If I had another marker, it would be easier. I'm going to keep it here. I'm just going to put Rav in a circle or Shmuel in a circle, right? Are we in agreement that this is the easiest way to see that? Yeah. Not just because it's Tosa or other people said it, but because it just really makes sense. Yeah. Okay. So now, within Rav, which, by the way, I'm pretty sure that's how we paskin, intriguingly. So within Rav, there's another question, which is what about a different Beis Din? The Adim came in a different Beis Din. Adim. Shmuel is already his ship has sailed. He is you're way chayiv with him already. Rav said you're putter in one Beis Din. So should it matter if it's in a different Beis Din or not? So assuming you want to keep Rav in this school, you'll say what?
That it should not matter. No.
So one possibility is if it's in a different, it doesn't matter. He should be chayiv.
Thank you.
He's still putter. That's the way. He's still putter, because who cares? Mali one bezdin, Mali a second bezdin. He got a patura. We don't do double jeopardy, and that was the nesivos, right? If you say made a different bezdin, he is chayiv. So what's the logic of that? So here I think there's two possibilities. Either you swing Rav back over here and say he's really much closer to Shmuel than we thought. Now how do we do that? I think you figured it out. You have to say it wasn't just that Beis Din in Klali cannot be mechayev you, but it was only that this or the Beis Din where you were modeh can't be mechayev you. But another Beis Din can. So really, Rav is much closer to Shmuel. Is there a way to accept the psak of the ktsos and keep Rav over here? I don't know. Seems hard. I'm working on that one.
Wait, isn't that what that says though?
No, this right down here. This makes Rav, or the closest position within Rav, much closer to the Shmuel approach.
But it's not within it. You're saying it is a patur, but it is a pointer, but for that base, or that is a
no, patur. No. This is a separate thing here.
So what exactly does it say versus his high on the left side? No. It, look in the circle. Okay, we can just rub. No.
That's, I'll go over. You ready? Adam. Within the psak, forget the lumbus for a minute, within the psak of Rav, that modeh b'knas, v'achachach bo edim, pater, right? Rav Shita, within that, there's nothing to talk about for Shmuel, he's already chayim korn Shmuel, within that, there's a machlokes, does it matter if the edim came to the second Beis Din or not? Right? Edim in a different Beis Din. So, here, one shita, the Nesivo, says no, it still would be pater. That's the psak. And it's not just speculation, it's pretty clear in the Nesivo's lashon that what's the basis of it? That Hoda is a patur. Once a person gets a patur, let alone part of the Arsameach formulation, that as if he paid, then for sure it's still patur. And if a third group of Adam come to a third Beis Din, it'll still be pater. Because he got his patur, / he paid. But the Ktsos is a wild card here because the Ktsos disagrees with this. By the way, it's not just the Nesivos and Mishpat. Who else agree with the Nesivos here? For fun family politics? Yeah, Thanksgiving dinner that year was not so fun at the Ktsos' house. Because there, even though Friday we had the Truma Sakri defending his brother, here the Truma Sakri disagreed with his brother. That's what I always say. Okay? So says the Ktsos, within Rav, that was only in one Beis Din. But if you go to a different Beis Din, then he's chayiv. So what's the logic behind that? That's what we're up to now. You see, guys, that's what we're up to now?
Yeah, I just couldn't read what it actually says.
Now you can? Or now you can, this one right here?
Yeah, you can just...
Right, so what's the logic? So one logic is what we've been saying is maybe what Rav really meant wasn't that Hoda is a patur. We thought that's what he meant. And we had this big dichotomy between Rav and Shmuel. Ah, it's a chakira, it's really a machlokas amoraim, how beautiful is that? This approach saying, no, move them much closer together. Even in the original machlokas, that's not what the sheet. Rav held. Why is he chayev? Because this, or the Bezdin, can't be mechayev you. That's moda b'knas. But another Bezdin could be mechayev you. So this Bezdin can't. Moda b'knas, achach bo'edim, says Rav, this Bezdin can't be mechayev you. Once they've accepted the Hodah, that, especially if we really believe the Hodah, so then we can't go up against that. Because it's already a Kamei Edom Dami, you can never get better than that. But in a different Bezdin. Why not? Now that is making the machlokos between Rav and Shmuel very, very limited. There is a machlokos. It's on the page of the Gemara. They disagree about Modi B'knas Machlok Bo'ed and Potter. But if you say that Rav would, if you assume that Rav would switch in a second Bezdin, so you, the most likely explanation, the most likely explanation I think is yours, is that you have to bring even logically, conceptually, the two opinions much closer together. I would like, but I don't have enough sleep yet, so maybe you guys could help me. I would like to figure out a way to keep the ktsosis psak, that even in the second bezdin, that in the second bezdin now he's chayiv. I'd love to do it in a way that retains the assumption that modib knas is a poter. You have it for me?
Maybe.
You're gonna go for it.
Yeah.
You already get points for trying. Right, I mean that.
So could we say that maybe when Aiden comes, you said the case is closed. Maybe they just literally restart a new case with Aiden coming. They restart a new case and they're machai.
But how come in this in one bezin we don't?
Yeah.
Their hand or tie.
You're carrying all the water.
I mean,
you started it. I'll let you finish it.
Could it be that the purpose of the p'tor, or the reason it's considered a p'tor, is perhaps because of he's coming in and sort of preventing Basin from having to deal with all this trouble, like he's admitting to it. So that sort of takes place of the knas because he's admitting he did it in this Basin.
That's Or Sameach esque.
Yeah, ish. And then so then what you say though is when he goes to another Basin and he's
not he the Adam go to another Basin.
Right, but he's there. And then
No, not Lavdavka. Adam came.
He's not. Yeah, but
no, but if Adam came, but if Adam come, this is an important point of clarification. Beyond then I'm going to return the floor to you. In a regular case, normal case, Dayanim are sitting there, doing whatever Dayanim do, talking about fantasy football, whatever they do when there's no one in front of them, because what else would Dayanim be doing, right? And Adam came in and gave testimony, which was cross-examined and unimpeached. As far as at this point, no Adi Hakasha, no other Kat Adam. The guy's chayiv, he's a ganav. And then you call the guy in, and he sees what's going on, and he says, I admit it, I did it. That's not Moda B'Knas Potter. He's already been chayiv. If Bo Adim V'Achach HaHoda, that's a joke.
So
I mean, that's nice. It's tshuva. It'll help you in Shemayim, maybe.
Exactly.
But but it would be irrelevant. So I'm saying, getting back to this case, in the second Bezdin, when we, the Ksosis case, it doesn't matter whether he was there or not. The whole premise of the case is that he didn't initially make a Hoda, but rather the Adim came to Mechayiv him.
Right.
So now the floor is back to you.
So then in that base, the Adim are trying to Mechayiv him something, and he's not motivated to it in that base thing. So
it wouldn't matter. That's what I'm trying to say. It doesn't matter if he's motivated in that base.
No,
even if he
it
was.
It would matter if he were motivated before the Adim, I'm saying.
It would matter. It would have mattered, yes.
It would have mattered, but he's not. Even if you say he's not because he's not there, the point is he's not there to motivate. So he doesn't move on to this step of, I'm doing something nice for society and for the base.
But the question is, what happened to his original Hodah, which according to this was a p'tur?
It's not really a p'tur in the sense that he's fully p'tur from everything. It's a p'tur in the sense that it's a p'tur because he was helping society and helping base in that scenario. But now that there's another base thing, if he's not going to again admit to it, it doesn't help anybody.
Yeah,
because
in the world.
So first of all, Ein L'Davar Sof, that's mamish like the double jeopardy problem,
that's
right?
Every base in the world.
Not only that, but according to you, it would be true even if he responds to Adam or if he anticipates them.
Only if he anticipates them, because that's the whole basis of this discussion.
Again,
afterwards, like,
could you string everything you're saying together to make it work? I think the answer is yes, but I find that to be very unlikely.
Okay.
You don't have to agree.
Okay.
I'm saying, I don't know. It's better than I did, but I'm not sure it's enough. I'm not sure. Anyone else have an attempt?
Not so different than that, but it's the pasuk says, "Asher Yarshiu Elohim," right? That the
Elohim.
Elohim, right?
Lashon Chol.
Yeah, definitely.
JPS has a
JPS translates as God.
Yeah.
All you need to know.
So the pasuk says that the judges make you guilty. So in this case, where you do the hoda'ah before the edim come, the judges, by definition, even if the edim come and make you guilty, the judges already have in mind from your hoda'ah that you're guilty, so they're not really able to make you guilty. But if it's
I'm fine with that.
If it's a new case where the people where the edim dafka aren't where you aren't there, the judges don't have in mind your hoda'ah, and that's why
I think that makes a lot of sense. There's only one problem. That's more or less this. That's more or less saying since you already had quote unquote muddied the waters, you already had planted the seed of guilt in the Bezdin's mind.
The Bezdin
means the Knas only happens if the Bezdin are the exclusive Mechayev of your Knas. That's what you said, correct? That's what I meant. That's one of the reasons why Bezdin can't be Mechayev. So again, over here I basically said, Ein Hanami, you're bringing Rav closer to Shmuel.
Correct.
That I hear. I'm saying I think you're right. I'm looking for an alternative to that. In which you keep the idea that in the initial Hodah and then came Edim, it was a poter. When you had the Moda of Beknas, the Bezin had averted your poter. Either because they did it, because of the Gerzah Kosov, or we consider it as if you paid. But why, if you said, again, let me I'm just going to say one more thing and then we're just going to go, just because we could talk about this forever and that's a good thing, that's the beauty of Talmud Torah, but I also want you to have a chance to start looking at Rabbi Terence Makaros. That's just speaking also of the Klali. Something we can learn methodologically from this as well. This little map here, which I hope you can see. Between these two things, Hodah is a poter, or Bezdin can be Mechayev. Which one is the stronger one? Which is the more emphatic, bolder statement? Clearly. Now, that doesn't make it right. It makes it more exciting, but it doesn't necessarily make it right. Right? We're often attracted to those kind of things, but it is worth noting. Why am I stressing that now? Why is it important to notice that? Because obviously, whatever advantages, and there may very well be advantages, to taking a stronger, bolder position initially, it makes the more nuanced cases much more difficult. Once you've taken this bold claim, it's a poter! You know, in the first part of the sugya, it's almost, you could say, in a certain sense, it's almost a better and more attractive approach. Now it really explains why you should be poter. Right? That's what we all agreed. I think I took an informal poll. No one at least was willing to disagree. This is the best explanation of Rav. It's not the best. It's not. Could there be other explanations of Rav? Yeah, but this is a really good explanation of Rav. The only problem, or not the problem, the yin and the yang is that once you take such a strong position, so it helps you initially, provides real clarity initially. But then once you're met with something which is a little bit of a nuanced psak, so then you're going to be stuck. Now, if you say, right, so if you get, if once you say this, so then the more clear you are at first, the stronger you are at first, right, this is Lahavdi of Alfei Avdolos, this would be true in any debating system, right? The stronger position you make at the outset, the harder it's going to be to move to the middle, right? So that's why classic strategy in anything, including I would say in learning, is never commit to more than you have to initially. Because you never know when you're going to want to move a little bit in the other direction. The downside to that is you have more of a wishy-washy, modest approach at first. It looks a little less impressive, it's a little less clear, a little less compelling. So here, you have a certain advantage in the beginning, but potentially we get stuck. We might, again, now the answer is maybe that second best in, maybe the Nesivos is just right. That's also a good possibility. But if you want to retain the psak of the Ksos and this, it's very hard. Not impossible. We're trying. We should keep on trying. I very much enjoyed the last 3-4 days. And we're all happy that Rabbi Terigen is back. Guys, do whatever he told you to do in the base medrash, and I'll be happy to see you and help you with any questions I can.